Translation: I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. So this is a famous verse that's in the introduction to Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is part of the invocation, the auspicious invocation. And I was listening to a class that Srila Prabhupada gave on the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, and he talked first about Krishna, so I thought we could do the same. And then we can discuss a little bit about Radharani, and then perhaps about us, the jiva, and our connection, our relationship to Srimati Radharani. So Prabhupada very often recited a verse from the Katha Upanishad, which he considered very representative of Krishna's glories. And it's quite a simple verse. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam eko bohunam yo vididati kaman. A simple verse, but like so many verses in our scriptures, it has tremendous profound implications, profound meaning. Nitya means the one singular eternal. And nityanam is the plural, the multitudes of eternals, all of us. Chaitana means the supremely singular conscious living being. And chaitananam is the plural conscious living beings, all of us. Eko bohunam yo vididati kaman. Vididati means supplies. So that one, that eko, is supplying the necessities of all the others. Bohunam, all of us. So this is something truly extraordinary. We tend to overlook it because it's so overwhelmingly incomprehensible. That one person is supplying all the needs of all the living entities in the entire creation. How is this possible? Krishna is inconceivable. Srila Jiva Goswami says that unless we accept the inconceivable nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this verse is an example of his inconceivability. I live nearby, and sometimes I take a walk. This is called the Green Belt. We're very fortunate to be in the Green Belt. And until recently, there were literally hundreds of acres of wheat growing. They recently mowed it. But it occurred to me that each and every wheat plant is a jiva. And there must have been millions and millions of jivas in these wheat fields. And next to each and every jiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, witnessing as the overseer, the witness, the guide, the protector, the friend of that jiva. So as we transmigrate through 8,400,000 species, Krishna is there with us, giving us what we deserve, observing us, hoping that we come closer to him. So again, who can understand that this is just beyond our small minds to comprehend the greatness of God? This is his inconceivability. He's also our dearmost friend. Also, it's described by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita that Krishna is in every atom of creation. And he's not crowded there. He has room to move. So this is our Lord, and he's also present here, as Prabhupada has explained to us, that he manifests himself in a way that he is accessible to us. And all this is beyond our comprehension. We say that Krishna is inconceivable. But Srimati Radharani is more inconceivable than Krishna. Krishna, it's explained, he has potencies, he has energies. They're divided into three. One is Sandini, that's the energy for existence. Another one is Samvit. Samvit is cognizance or knowledge. And the third is Ladini. Ladini is the pleasure-giving potency, the potency of bliss, ananda. Prabhupada explains in his lecture about Srimati Radharani that Krishna, like all of us, when he wants to enjoy, he wants company. We just recently came through 18 months of lockdown, and one of the major problems was that people could not associate with their friends and families. They suffered as a result of that lack of association. That we all want to enjoy. We have this enjoying propensity, and if we're alone, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to enjoy. Prabhupada gave the example of himself. He was speaking in New York in the early days, and he said, because all of you are here, there's some relationship going on. If I was just here by myself, I wouldn't have the same pleasure, the same enjoyment. So this comes from Krishna. He's the origin of everything, this desire to enjoy. And there's no possibility of Krishna enjoying anything that is less than him. He must enjoy the internal energy. He does not enjoy the external energy. So for that reason, Krishna expands his Ladini potency, his pleasure potency. And that expansion is Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani is the pleasure potency of Krishna personified. And she is truly extraordinary because Krishna says in Gita, for example, Vedaham Samatitani. Veda means knowledge. Aham is I, Krishna is speaking. Samatitani, complete. Krishna has complete knowledge. And Krishna says, I do not understand Srimati Radharani. Lord Brahma says in the Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna, very simple statement, that Ishvara, the supreme controller, is Krishna. And yet we are going to read the 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani, and the 25th of her 25 qualities is that she controls Krishna. This is Srimati Radharani's inconceivability. Krishna is all attractive. The very word Krishna means all attractive. And yet, Krishna says that he is enchanted by Srimati Radharani. Again, it's inconceivable that the all attractive person is attracted by the personification of his internal Ladini Shakti, the pleasure giving potency. This is Srimati Radharani. We fail to grasp the extent of her glories. Also, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna makes the promise to all of us that as we surrender to him, he will reward us accordingly. He reciprocates our surrender. And yet we find that he says to the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani, that their surrender is so complete, they have given up everything so completely that he cannot reciprocate. He fails to reciprocate. They must be satisfied by their own internal achievements. So again, what can we do but pray to Srimati Radharani to please her? And in fact, that is our goal, that Srimati Radharani is also called the tender feminine counterpart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she is known for her compassion. When I first went to Vrindavan many years ago, I would wander on the streets, and the residents, the widows and the widowers, would say, Jai Radhe. And I had no idea what they were saying or why. But it has great significance that the Brijbasis know that Srimati Radharani is very kind, very compassionate. And if we can somehow please her and win her favor, she will recommend us to Krishna, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a wonderful process to try to evoke the attention and the mercy and the kindness of Srimati Radharani, so that she will say to her Krishna, you please accept this person. This person is worthy of your acceptance. And then he cannot refuse a request of Srimati Radharani. It's stated the essence of the Ladini potency is love of God. The essence of love of God is emotion, bhava. And the ultimate development of emotion is mahabhava. Radharani is the embodiment of mahabhava, the repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Sri Krishna. So these affairs of Radha and Krishna, they're transcendental manifestations of the internal pleasure-giving potency of the Lord. And although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separate themselves eternally to enjoy these loving affairs. So what I wanted to do this morning for a little while, to have a group meditation on the qualities of Radharani. And what we will do is, there's two places in Srila Prabhupada's books where he lists the 25 transcendental qualities of Radharani. Radharani has unlimited qualities, but 25 are predominant. And so those are listed twice. And the lists are, some of the items are exactly the same. Some of the qualities are mentioned in exactly the same way. Some have a slight difference, and there are about seven that are notably different. Because we know Sanskrit can be translated in different ways. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Sanatan Goswami about the Atmarama verse, he identified 61 different ways to translate that one verse in the Bhagavatam. So it's not unusual that there are different understandings. So what we'll do is that I will read the translation as it's given in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and then Guru Shakti Devi Dasi will read the translation for the same quality as it's given in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And the ones that are noticeably different we'll read twice. There's seven of them. And then what we'll do, and we kindly, humbly ask you not to use your devices for this. You put your devices away. But try to remember as many of these qualities as you can. And then each of us will try to say one quality, so we cover all 25 qualities. So this is a group meditation on the 25 qualities of Radharani. Yes. Srimati Radharani's 25 chief transcendental qualities are. So my reading is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Guru Shakti will be reading from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. 1. She is very sweet.
She is sweetness personified.
2. She is always freshly youthful.
She's a fresh young girl.
3. Her eyes are restless.
Her eyes are always moving.
4. She smiles brightly.
She is always brightly smiling.
5. She has beautiful, auspicious lines.
She possesses all auspicious marks on her body.
6. She makes Krishna happy with her bodily aroma.
She can agitate Krishna by the aroma of her person.
7. She is very expert in singing.
She's expert in the art of singing.
8. Her speech is charming.
She speaks very nicely and sweetly.
9. This one, please pay extra special attention. She is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly.
She's expert in presenting feminine attractions.
She is very expert in joking and speaking pleasantly.
She's expert in presenting feminine attractions.
10. She is very humble and meek.
She is modest and gentle.
She is very humble and meek.
She is modest and gentle.
11. She is always full of mercy.
She is always very merciful.
12. She is cunning.
She is transcendentally cunning.
13. She is expert in executing her duties.
She knows how to dress nicely.
She is expert in executing her duties.
She knows how to dress nicely.
14. She is shy.
She is always shy.
15. She is always respectful.
She is always respectful.
16. She is always calm.
She is always patient.
17. She is always grave.
She is very grave.
18. This again, please pay extra attention. She is expert in enjoying life.
She is enjoyed by Krishna.
She is expert in enjoying life.
She is enjoyed by Krishna.
That's very profound. To actually enjoy life, one must be enjoyed by Krishna. 19. She is situated at the topmost level of ecstatic love.
She is always situated on the highest devotional platform.
20. She is the reservoir of loving affairs in Gokula.
She's the abode of love of the residents of Gokula.
21. She is the most famous of submissive devotees.
She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees.
She is the most famous of submissive devotees.
She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees.
22. She is very affectionate to elderly people.
She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors.
She is very affectionate to elderly people.
She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors.
She is very submissive to the love of her friends.
She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates.
She is very submissive to the love of her friends.
She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates.
24. She is the chief gopi.
She is the greatest among Krishna's girlfriends.
25. She always keeps Krishna under her control.
She always keeps Krishna under her control.
So what we'll do is that we ask each person to say just one. For example, I'll say she is very sweet, or she's sweetness personified. And Guru Shakti will check that off, and we'll see if collectively we can come up with all 25 qualities of Srimati Radharani. It's easier in the beginning. The end will get more difficult. Please. Please. Her eyes are always restless. Thank you.
She's always beautifully smiling.
She's always beautifully smiling. Tell us if you can't find it or if you get it. Girl?
She is cunning.
She is cunning.
She's shy.
She's shy.
She's grave.
She's grave. She's very grave.
She's respectful.
She's respectful. Too? Who is she respectful? Her seniors. And inferiors, yes.
She's
very merciful.
She's enjoyed by Krishna.
She is enjoyed by Krishna. Hare Krishna.
She's the chief gopi.
She is the chief gopi.
She's calm.
She's calm and patient.
She's grave.
I think we said she's grave has already been said, yeah. She's always situated on the highest platform of transcendental love of Krishna.
She's expert in fulfilling her duties.
Say again?
She's expert in fulfilling her duties.
She's expert in fulfilling her duties. Thank you.
She's enjoyed by Krishna.
Yeah, I think that was covered. She's enjoyed by Krishna.
She has all those auspicious markings.
She has all auspicious markings on her body. She's very submissive to her friends.
She's the shelter of all different types of devotees.
But you already said one, didn't you? Oh, you said two already. We're trying to have as wide a participation as possible.
She looks after the elderly.
She looks after the elderly.
She's
the topmost of loving affairs in Gokul. She's modest. Thank you. I couldn't hear. She's very good at singing. Expert in singing. Yeah, singing. Yeah. Thank you.
She's forever youthful.
She's forever youthful.
She's very humble.
She's very humble. She's always smiling. And she's very grave. That's an interesting combination. Krishna is enchanted by her bodily fragrance. Thank you. Very nice. She's transcendentally cunning. I think we had that one.
She controls Krishna.
She controls Krishna, yes. She's compassionate.
She's shy.
She's shy and modest.
What's sulky?
No, sulky? No, that wasn't. She does sulk for Krishna's pleasure, but that wasn't mentioned.
Her eyes are always
moving. She's expert at singing, yes, that was mentioned, chanting, singing. She's submissive to her friends, subordinate to her friends. So if those who have gone once would like to go again.
She knows how to dress nicely.
She knows how to dress nicely.
She has charming speech.
She has charming speech.
She's shy.
She's shy and modest. Harsh. She's expert in joking. She knows how to enjoy life. She knows how to be enjoyed by Krishna. Very powerful quality. So how how have we done? We need a report. Oh, we have three left. Three that we've all collectively forgotten.
But I may have missed them, so they may have been said. She's very sweet. Was that said?
No, I don't think so.
She's sweetness personified. So that was the first one.
Oh, well, I said that one. Yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Did you?
My apologies.
Second one, she's always freshly youthful. She's a fresh young girl. That was said? Okay. And her speech is charming. That was said as well?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay, so all of them.
Very good. Hari Bol. Excellent. Excellent. Well done. So in Bombay in the 70s, Prabhupada was invited to speak at the home of the Birlas. The Birlas at that time were the wealthiest family in India. And they asked him to speak on the topic of how to become successful in life, which is a bit ironic because by material standards they were the most successful in India. And Prabhupada spoke about the apara and the para prakriti. And he explained that the apara prakriti is the external energy, and that is controlled by Durga. And she has the three modes of material nature that keeps living entities entrapped. And although they may appear to be successful externally, actually they're unsuccessful because they have to repeatedly face birth and death and old age and disease and transmigrate amongst all the living entities. And then he spoke about the para prakriti, that the Lord's internal energy. And he said that is controlled by Srimati Radharani. And once we come under the control of Srimati Radharani, that is actually success. Because then we can please Krishna, and then, as is stated in the qualities of Radharani, once we please Krishna, then we ourselves will fully enjoy our existence. We cannot enjoy our existence without pleasing Krishna. So this was a tremendous change of thinking for these personalities. At the end, Prabhupada asked for questions, and there weren't any questions, and he was disappointed. He felt that it meant they weren't listening attentively or taking his words seriously. But the implications are meaningful for each of us, that we have a choice, we have our minute independence. So we can either come under the control of Durga and the three modes of material nature, and in that way, even if we manage to come to the mode of goodness, we'll always be threatened by passion and ignorance. Or we can choose to try to please Radharani, come under her control, and in that way please Krishna. and become free of the influence of goodness and passion and ignorance. So it's something each of us has to decide individually in a daily way, perhaps moment by moment. We have that choice. And with this kind of knowledge and with the taste that's evoked from these wonderful festivals, we can continue making the choice to try to please Radharani and come under her control and beg her, "I am so fallen, but stunned that somehow or other I really want to please your Krishna. I really want to please you, and please help me in doing that." So I wanted to read some of the verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4. That this is the confidential reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami speaks at length about Srimati Radharani. He explains that there are four kinds of love of God. And if we look at them objectively, we'll see that they increase in intensity. Someone who is in any one of those four, whether servitor, friendship, parental, or conjugal, they will feel themselves to be complete and fulfilled. They have no desire to do anything else. But if we stand back from them and look at these four objectively, we'll see there's increasing flavors in that love. So, of course, with Srimati Radharani, we're talking about conjugal love. And in Vrindavan, what we're talking about specifically is unwedded love, as opposed to the wedded love of the queens of Dwarka. And in unwedded love, there's more intensity because there's more risk. There's always the chance of being found out. That even when the lover and the beloved are together, there's always the possibility of separation. And this heightens the emotions. So it becomes perfect in Srimati Radharani. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, "Radha is the one who gives pleasure to Govinda, and she is also the enchantress of Govinda. She is the be-all and end-all of Govinda and the crest jewel of all his consorts." Lord Krishna enchants the world, but Sri Radha enchants even him. Therefore, she is the supreme goddess. Sri Radha is the full power, and Lord Krishna is the possessor of full power. The two are not different, as evidenced by the revealed scriptures. They are indeed the same, just as musk and scent are inseparable, or as fire and heat are non-different. Thus Radha and Krishna are one, yet they have taken two forms to enjoy the mellows of pastimes. Krishna says, "I am the primary cause of all causes. I am the full spiritual truth and am made of full joy. But the love of Srimati Radharani drives me mad. I do not know the strength of Radha's love with which she always overwhelms me. The love of Radhika is my teacher, and I am her dancing pupil. Her prema makes me dance various novel dances. Whatever pleasure I get from tasting my love for Srimati Radharani, she tastes 10 million times more than me by her love. Just as I am the abode of all mutually contradictory characteristics, so Radha's love is always full of similar contradictions. Radha's love is all-pervading, leaving no room for expansion, but still it is expanding constantly. There is certainly nothing greater than her love, but her love is devoid of pride. That is the sign of its greatness. Nothing is purer than her love, but its behavior is always perverse and crooked." So in this chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj makes a point of distinguishing love from lust. And Prabhupada also emphasizes this point, that because we're embodied beings, because we're affected by passion and ignorance, we tend to impose our qualities and our mentality on the Supreme Couple. And this is a grave mistake. And we find this made especially in India with licentious paintings of Radha and Krishna, which show a complete misunderstanding of the divine couple and the exalted nature of their relationship and their qualities and their personality. So love and lust are compared to gold and iron, that they're both metal. The comparison ends there, that gold is so valuable and iron is useless. So what is the difference between them? That lust means I want to satisfy myself. It's selfish. Whereas love means I want to satisfy the beloved. It's selfless. So in this way, it's contradictory. And we read from these pastimes that Radharani's entire being, her body, her senses, her mind, simply want to please Krishna. When somebody mentions a quality of sulking, so she does sulk in the rasa dance. She feels Krishna's not giving her enough attention, and so she leaves the rasa dance. This is for Krishna's pleasure. It's not for her own pleasure. This is something, everything that she does is to heighten their loving relationships. It's not selfish. It's not like when I feel I'm ignored and I walk out feeling offended. That's the mode of passion and ignorance. But Radharani, when she leaves the rasa arena, she knows that Krishna will look for her and their relationships will be more and more sweet. So these two cannot be compared, and it behooves us to always distinguish the exalted qualities of the personalities of Godhead from our own very fallen qualities. Otherwise we can become sahajya. So the gopis, they gave up their social customs, they gave up their relatives, they gave up the Vedic injunctions. When they heard Krishna's flute, they left everything and went to be with him for his pleasure, to give him pleasure. When they dressed and made themselves look very beautiful, they were doing that to give pleasure to the Lord, not so they could say, oh, how beautiful I am. So this is the difference, and it's enunciated in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shishastakam prayers. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so. Even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me, he will always remain my worshipful Lord unconditionally. So this is love. You know, in the material world, I marry somebody, and if that someone doesn't please me, I'm looking for someone else. This is lust. So let us keep that always in our minds. So we'll go on reading a little bit from the fourth chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The gopis know Krishna's desires, and they know how to render perfect loving service for his enjoyment. They perform their service expertly for the satisfaction of their beloved. Among the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the foremost. She surpasses all in beauty, in good qualities, in good fortune, and above all, in love. She alone is his most beloved of all the gopis. Once Lord Krishna considered within his heart, everyone says that I'm complete bliss, full of all rasas. All the world derives pleasure from me. Is there anyone who can give me pleasure? One who has 100 times more qualities than me could give me pleasure. One more qualified than me is impossible to find in the world, but in Radha alone, I feel the presence of one who can give me pleasure. Although my beauty defeats the beauty of 10 million cupids and is unequaled and unsurpassed, and although it gives pleasure to the 3 worlds, seeing Radharani gives pleasure to me. The vibration of my transcendental flute attracts the three worlds, but my ears are enchanted by the sweet words of Srimati Radharani. Although my body lends fragrance to the entire creation, the scent of Radharani's limbs captivates my mind and heart. Although the entire creation is full of different tastes because of me, I am charmed by the nectarian taste of the lips of Srimati Radharani. And although my touch is cooler than 10 million moons, I am refreshed by the touch of Srimati Radharani. Thus, although I am the source of happiness for the entire world, the beauty and attributes of Sri Radhika are my life and soul. In this way, my affectionate feelings for Srimati Radharani may be understood, but on analysis, I find them contradictory. My eyes are fully satisfied when I look upon Srimati Radharani, but by looking upon me, she becomes even more advanced in satisfaction. The flute-like murmur of the bamboos rubbing against one another steals Radharani's consciousness, for she thinks it to be the sound of my flute. And she embraces a tamal tree, mistaking it for me. I have gotten the embrace of Krishna, she thinks, so now my life is fulfilled. Thus she remains immersed in pleasing Krishna, taking the tree in her arms. When a favorable breeze carries to her the fragrance of my body, she is blinded by love and tries to fly into the breeze. When she tastes the betel nut chewed by me, she merges in an ocean of joy and forgets everything else. Even with hundreds of mouths, I could not express the transcendental pleasure she derives from my association. Seeing the luster of her complexion after our pastimes together, I forget my own identity in happiness. So one of the very endearing qualities of Srimati Radharani is that she's so pleased with her associates, their behavior of the other gopis, that she's always trying to arrange that those gopis meet with Krishna. And meanwhile, the gopis, they have no desire to meet with Krishna themselves, but they're trying to make all arrangements so that Radha and Krishna can come together. So in this way, there's a competition that Srimati Radharani is trying to push forward the gopis who are so dear to her to be in Krishna's presence. And the gopis are trying to enable Radharani to have the association of Krishna. Also, I should mention that from Srimati Radharani, who's the manifestation of Krishna's Ladini Shakti, then the gopis themselves have manifest. Just as Krishna manifests so many expansions, so many avatars, so from Radharani there's so many manifestations to accompany each and every one of Krishna's expansions. So not only does she expand herself into the gopis of Vrindavan, she also expands herself into the queens of Dwarka. She also expands herself into all the relations, the consorts of the avatars. This is her potency, her manifestations. The associates of Radharani include her personal associates, Sakis, and her near assistants, Manjaris. They have no desire to mix with Krishna or enjoy with Krishna personally. Rather, they are always ready to help Radharani associate with Krishna. Their transcendental pleasure is seeing Radha and Krishna united. The Govinda Lilamrita describes the pleasure of Radharani's associates as follows. Radharani, the expansion of the pleasure potency of Krishna is compared to a creeper, and her associates, the damsels of Braj, are compared to the flowers and leaves of that creeper. When Radharani and Krishna enjoy themselves, the damsels of Braj relish the pleasure more than Radharani herself. So it's described that Radharani's beauty and her qualities are always expanding for Krishna's pleasure. And on Krishna seeing the beauty of Radharani, his own beauty increases. And from the increase in his own beauty, the beauty of Radharani increases. And this goes on indefinitely. Again, we're talking about things that are beyond the capacity of our very small intelligence, our very small minds. But we can relish these things and bathe in their sweetness. So perhaps there's some points that people might like to bring out, any reflections on things that we've discussed this morning.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much, Vishakha Prabhu, for this beautiful class on Srimati Radharani. You mentioned about the transcendental competition between the gopis and Radharani to enhance the association with Krishna. We live in this material world, and in our dictionary, competition means a bit of selfish attitude, just to push our own selves forward. So what is our correct attitude for serving Srimati Radharani?
That's a beautiful question. And I think we can very much take the hint from the relationship of Radha with her fellow gopis, that she is encouraging them, wanting to see them excel, wanting to see them come closer to Krishna. So the more that we can also imbibe that feeling that we want our God brothers, our God sisters, our family of devotees to feel close to Krishna, close to Srila Prabhupada, and this will actually give us much more pleasure than us trying to push ourselves forward to be noticed by Krishna. If we can encourage others to do that, that becomes a very beautiful relationship. I think it's a very significant point, this relationship of Radharani with the gopis and them encouraging each other and coming, uniting with Krishna. This, as you say, in this material world, it's full of competition, and that brings incredible distress and disappointment, even for those who so-called win, because they do it at the expense of others, and that is quite undesirable. But Prabhupada notices, and Krishna notices the endeavor, and takes great pleasure in the sincerity of the endeavor, more than the fame and glory and name and so forth that comes. That is quite meaningless.
Prabhu. Just to answer that, I heard from Mr. Devi Dasi.
Please, if you could speak into the mic. Yeah.
Just to expand on that, I heard Amila Devi Dasi say that when Radha is with Krishna, she experiences hundreds of times more pleasure than in her own company. But when she pushes others in front of her to see Krishna, she experiences an infinite amount of pleasure. So to actually be, although we're always trying to serve and get them together, from her side of the fence, as it were, she's doing the same and trying to push us to see Krishna. Then she experiences herself more pleasure.
Very beautiful. We can relate to it a little, those of us who are parents, that when we see our children excelling in some way, it gives such pleasure to our hearts to experience that. We don't feel envious, we don't feel competitive, but we feel this is wonderful, let them do more and more, like the wonderful play that we had with the children. So this lack of envy and desire for others to excel is something, as you mentioned, so so nourishing for us. Thank you.